Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 4th of May, the 124th day of 2026, allowing us 241 days for our approach to 2027. May in Latin is Maius, named for the Greek goddess Maia, with whom the Romans associated fertility. Naturally, then, during this fifth month of the Gregorian calendar, in use around the world for centuries, fertility will be ubiquitous, as shown in the past week at our building site, where the returning avian population has had us busy exercising prevention and further developing patience. Preventative measures to dissuade various birds from setting up birthing stations in our midst and our being patient with them when they are successful despite our best efforts. Important to note at the onset is the illegality of moving a wild bird nest once it has eggs in it, so efforts beforehand become crucial. When I'm working nearby, for example, my boldness will often be greater than that of, say, the robins, the finches, the chickadees, the vireos, the juncos, the sparrows, or the jays. I just keep busy cutting lumber with the circular saw and installing fasteners with the impact drill to continue our own building process. Both those tools make the sort of racket that creates an unpleasant working environment for the avian artisans, reducing their activity in the area to quick surveillance sorties, though no advancement of actual nest production. The problems for me arise when I'm not there at all. Even a mere half day of my absence means the nest crafters will seize the opportunity to make the dozens and dozens of utility flights to convey materials and assemble them into a suitable structure for themselves. Such was the case toward the end of last week when I had been at our work site in the morning but was elsewhere for the afternoon. Arriving the next day, I found a complete nest, twigs, straw, leaves, moss, replete with mud daubing that had been built atop a 6-foot stepladder that I had left leaning against the outside wall of the shop just under the carport. Starlings, grackles, swallows, and phoebes thus far seem the most tenacious at the burgeoning house, with the din of my construction activities needing to be quite raucous to bother them. Down at the bottom of the Esker along the Stillwater River is another matter, where the piping plovers are especially determined to temporarily homestead. Yet our April showers have engendered a green spring at mid-season, and our bird life attempts to thrive apace. Poet Carl Phillips has this to say about it in his piece From Below. There's a kind of shadow, easily missed, that depth of field and depth of character sometimes share. Between them, suffering. There can seem especially far away, though it's never far. It was one of those days when just to have spoken at all aloud feels like honesty, or maybe more like wanting to be honest, as if one had forgotten, almost, not to want to, but how. A lost art, like predicting the future by listening to the sounds leaves make, each to the other, touching, not touching, and yet so much still to wish for, to have loved differently, less deeply, more reliably. I call that hope, not regret. Bell flowers, sand flowers, there at the field's far edge. For every day we celebrate the beginning of new lives and find some comfort in our hope for the future. Among the abundantly famous birthdays for today are those of Horace Mann, Frederick Edwin Church, Alice Liddell, Marianne McCall, Patsy Garrett, Ed Cassidy, Audrey Hepburn, Pia Zadora, Sharon Jones, and Randy Travis. And of noteworthy historical significance, today in 1878, Thomas Edison's phonograph was shown for the first time at the Grand Opera House in New York City. Today, in 1959, the first Grammy Awards were presented, and the winners included Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Perry Como, and the Kingston Trio. Today in 1970, an anti-Vietnam War demonstration at Kent State University turned deadly when the Ohio National Guard shot 4 unarmed students and wounded 9 others. Today in 1973, Valerie Perrine, in a PBS broadcast of Bruce J. Friedman's Steam Bath, became the first actress to appear nude on an American television network. And today in 1979, Margaret Thatcher became the first woman to be elected Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Heavenward, tomorrow morning early on the southern horizon, our waning gibbous moon will be keeping company with the bright red star Antares of the constellation Scorpius the Scorpion. And just before dawn, look south for the Eta Aquaridae meteor shower, which has its radiant point in the middle of the constellation Aquarius the Water Bearer. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming the seventh week of spring, the 19th week of 2026, the first full week of May, wishing everyone que viva Cinco de Mayo mañana, and thanking everyone for helping WERU into its 38th year of providing the best that a radio station can offer. Keep the faith.